الله الرحمن الرحيم واسألهم عن القرية التي كانت حاضرة البحر إذ يعدون في السبت إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا ويوم لا يسبتون ويوم لا يسبتون لا تأتيهم كذلك نبلوهم بما كانوا يفسقون وإذ قالت أمة منهم لم تعظون قوما الله مهلكهم أو معذبهم عذابا شديدا قالوا معذرة إلى ربكم ولعلهم يتقون فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به أنجينا الذين ينهون عن السوء وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون فلما عتوا عما نهوا عنه قلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسئين صدق الله العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد The verses that were recited before you were from Suratul A'raf. Suratul A'raf is the 7th chapter of the Quran Kareem. It commences from the 8th juz of the Quran Kareem and it extends till the 9th juz of the Quran Kareem. The verses that were recited were from verse 63 including verse 63 till verse 66. All in all, 4 verses were recited. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala directs a question to the people of the book, the Yahud and the Nasara, regarding the Ahle Kitab of the past, the followers of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala numa says, the followers of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to live in a place called Ayla, an area in Sham that was on the coastal line. In the Shariat of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a day of Sabbath. It was a Saturday which was regarded to be a holy day. It was a day for them to exercise restraint, taqwa, something like our month of Ramadan, where we had to exercise taqwa, restraint, don't eat, don't drink, etc. On that particular day, they also had to exercise taqwa and piety. And the specific order that was given to them, that since they are living on the coastal line, they should not do fishing on a Saturday. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tested them. On one side there's the order of Allah, and on the other side it is their wish, their desire, their aspiration. Allah tested them. Every other day of the week, it was normal. You have to make an effort to fish and to catch a fish. And on the day when they're not supposed to do fishing, that's the day, on the Saturday, the fish used to come in shoals. They would see the fish right in front of them. On one side, they love to catch fish, and on the other side, they're not supposed to be catching it. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tested them on that. The followers of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time, they did not exercise restraint. They did not obey the Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. They played around with the law of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. They wouldn't normally go and catch fish, but around the sea, they would make small ponds, rivulets, and when the fish would come in the shoals, some of the fish would get stuck in the ponds, they would get stuck in the rivulets, and when the water would go back, recede, those fish would get stuck in the ponds. But this was a strategy that they adopted by their own selves. Trying to defeat the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentions, there were two group of people, if not three. One group were those people that committed the crime. They knew the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala not to fish, so they weren't fishing as they would normally fish, but they adopted this strategy. And they committed the crime, violated the law of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In a different way, now they were still catching the fish. And then there was another group, the ulama, the pious among them, the muttaqeen among them, advised them. They don't do that. You may not be fishing like how you normally fish, but you are still fishing in a different way. Don't do that. You're violating the law of Allah. Allah's punishment would come down. They kept on advising them, but they would not exercise restraint until when the pious people, people of taqwa, they sensed that Allah's anger is going to come down anytime. Allah's punishment is going to come down anytime. They separated from them. They exhausted all possible avenues in advising them. They didn't take heed. Then the ulama, the pious people, separated themselves from those people. One particular morning, the people, the pious people, the ulama that were living in one area, they observed that there's no activity coming out from the other area. What's happening? Although they're living separately, but there's no activity taking place. When they went there and they seen, Allah's azab had already come down. Those people that violated the law of Allah, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam told them, the ulama, the pious people also told them, they went violated the law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah changed them into apes and into swines. The young among them were apes, the senior elderly among them were made into swines. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to that incident here in the Quran al-Kareem, and there are lessons and morals for us to take from this. We will do the translation and then I will refer to two issues. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask them, the people of the book, the Christian and the Jews, ask them about that town, the town of Ayla, which was on the coastal line, that was on, that was near the sea, or that was on the coastal line. إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ. When they would transgress on a Saturday. إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا. When their fish would come to them on the Saturday in shoals. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. And on that day when it was not a Saturday, the fish would not come to them in shoals like how it come on a Saturday, on the previous days. كَذَلِكْ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. And this is how we have tested them, the followers of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, with that which they used to transgress. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. And remember, when a group among them told to them that why are you advising a nation that Allah is going to destroy them or Allah is going to punish them with severe punishment? What's the point of giving advice to them? One group remained silent. There's no need to talk. So a group that used to make nahi anil munkar, used to stop the people, condemn them, don't violate the law of Allah, to explain the reason why they were doing nahi anil munkar and prohibiting them from the evil. Ma'aziratan ila rabbikum wa la'allahum yattaqoon. We're only telling them Not to violate the law of Allah, so that we can at least present an excuse before Allah that Allah, we have stopped the people from doing the wrong. And second, maybe the advice that we have given them, they may just take heed and they may exercise taqwa and stop doing fishing. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ When the people that used to do fishing, the people that used to violate the order of Allah, when they forgot that advice that was given to them, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ Then we saved those people that were stopping the people from the wrong. The ulama, the pious people, they were telling the people not to violate the law of Allah. A time came, Allah made them live separately. And when the azab came, it came in that area where the violators of the law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala were living. وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ And we caught, we punished those people that oppressed, violated the law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What a severe punishment because of the transgression that they used to commit. فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ The people that used to violate the law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when they persisted from that which they were prohibited from, they still carried on, not taking any heed that they're violating the law of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as though nothing is going to happen to them. That's when Allah's anger came down. قُلْنَا لَهُمْ We said to them, those people that violated the law of Allah, كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ Become apes and be humiliated and disgraced. These are four verses of the Quran Kareem. That is really thought-provoking, and we can learn great lessons from it. And we can relate it to our own personal lives. The first lesson that we learn from here is, what is ibadat? Allah tabaraka ta'ala send us in this world to worship Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I haven't created jinn and man but to worship me. Ibadat refers to expressing our slavery to Allah. Whatever Allah tabaraka ta'ala tell us to do, we carry it out that exactly. One master, he had a slave. He asked his slave, what your name is going to be? So the slave then told to the master, what choice do I have in the matter? My name is whatever you're going to keep my name. I have no choice in keeping my own name. The master then asked him, where are you going to sleep? He said, what choice do I have in the matter? My sleeping place will be wherever you'd put me to sleep. What clothing you gonna wear? Again, what choice do I have? Wherever you, whatever clothing you give me to wear, I'll wear. The master then said, he commented, today you have taught me what is slavery. We are the slaves of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us to do, we carry it out. We look at the various laws of the Sharia, we should not play with the laws of the Sharia. The followers of the Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, they played with the law of Sharia. What Allah told them to do, they violated that and they did not carry it out. And that, it incurs the wrath, it incurs the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Jews, even after that, fat was made haram upon them. They couldn't eat fat. Fat for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is permissible. But fat for the Jews was prohibited. So they would take the fat, they would melt it, and when it was told to them that fat is prohibited, see, we're not having fat, we're having oil. So they also used to violate the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in different ways. Yes, of course, this should not be confused with the concept of permissible hila in Shariat. We call it stratagem. Some people sincerely, honestly want to practice on Sharia, but they are faced with a difficulty, they are an obstacle. Now you refer to a learned person who would be able to understand the situation, and he would create a strategy for you to overcome that. But the purpose is not to do what is haram, but to practice on halal in a different way. And that's also understood from the Quran Kareem. In the incident of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he once took a vow that when he recovers, then he will strike his wife with 100 sticks. He will lash her with 100 times. She was the woman that served him all the time. When he recovered, now he took an oath. How did he fulfill the oath? He made a promise. He had to carry it out. He's the Nabi of Allah. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala taught him how to overcome that. وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ دِخْسًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَسْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْأَبْدُ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that take a bundle of sticks. Take a bundle of 100 sticks and just place it on her. And it's as though you hit her, you fulfill that vow, you did not violate. So this was a difficulty, so Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showed how to overcome that. It wasn't like what the Jews were doing, defeating the Lord of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Likewise, in the hadith in Tirmidhi, there is an incident. Nabi Kareem saw khajur, saw dates. It came from Khaybar. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, Akullu tamari Khaybar hakaza? Are all the dates of Khaybar like this, so nice and big? So he said, La ya Rasulallah, all the dates of Khaybar are not like that. Some are good quality, some are for less, lower quality. We sell one sa, sai the measure, one sa of the good quality dates in exchange of two sa of the lower quality dates. Nabi Akram sir mentioned, oh ho, hada riba. This is riba, this is interest. Because there are two things at the same time, and one is more, one is less. And because of that, it leads to riba. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then showed them what the alternative is. Do the same thing, but in a different way. That take this two sa of lower quality dates, sell it, get the money, and from there you buy one sa of the good quality dates. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi showed the strategy. And to do that where a person is experiencing difficulty in the Shariat, and in order to reach his ultimate objective of being able to practice on Shariat, these kind of hilas are permissible. It is not to defeat the laws of Shariat. And like that, hila is something that we do all the time in our lives as well. One person was invited somewhere, and the host had prepared a rice dish. Would that there was papad also. So when the rice was served, the host forgot to give the papad. And the guest, he felt like eating the papad as well, because there's no enjoyment of the rice dish without the papad. Everybody sitting there, eating there. The guest, you can't ask for the papad. It's like an embarrassment. So he adopted the hila, he adopted the strategy. He started a discussion about fishing. And he asked the people around that, do you all do fishing? What size rod do you people use? He said, my father was a very big fisherman. You know what size rod he used to use? The rod was from here, and you see where the papad is? Right up till there, that was the size of the rod. And people said, oh yeah, the host had realized, why we forgot to give the papad. And the papad was then given. So, these kind of hilas we all adopt all the time. It is permissible, you use your aqal. These are strategies that we adopt in Shariat. The second important lesson that we learn from this is, in order to be able to practice on the laws of the Shariat, one will have to create a mahol, an environment that is conducive. And for that, if the environment is conducive, then the person will be able to practice on the laws of the Shariat. And if the environment is not conducive, then it's going to be very difficult to practice on the Shariat. Environment has an effect on a person. It's human nature. If it's a hot day, everybody wants to drink cold drinks and milkshakes. It's an effect of the environment. It's a cold day, everybody wants to drink tea and coffee. Again, it is an effect of that environment. It is stated in the hadith, Nabi Kareem speaks about environment, how environment has an effect on an individual.
كُلُّ مَوْلُودِ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ
فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ Every child that is born on such a natural ability that should he be given a clean environment, he would naturally be an obedient slave to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. No obstacles. But because he's an environment, he's been grown up in a Jewish home or a Christian home or in a home of fire worshippers, is that environment of the house that made the child a Christian? It's the environment of the house that made the child a Jew or made the environment that made the child a fire worshipper? The environment that has an effect on the individual. In one hadith, Mishkat Sharif, Kitab al-Iman, the hadith is there. There was a delegation of Abdul Qais. They came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They brought Iman on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before going, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to them, Amurukum bi arba wa anhaakum an arba. I order you to do four things and I will prohibit you from four things. The four things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited was hantam, khadra, etc. These are four containers of wine and alcohol. Now from that, the muhaddithin have mentioned, they lived in an environment where there was wine and alcohol. When you're in an environment where there's wine and alcohol, you'll be tempted. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, wine and alcohol, intoxicants are haram. And the environment is so bad, leave aside drinking wine and alcohol, even the containers. The containers that are used for that wine and alcohol, stay away from that as well. Don't even see it, because it's an environment that will tempt you to drink that wine and alcohol. In one another hadith, famous hadith, where one person, he was a murderer, killed 99 people. He went to one person and he asked that person, he was a pious person, learned person, so to say, that I have committed 99 murders, what should I do? 99 murders, there's no way for you to make tawbah. There's no way for you to change your life. He got angry, he said, 99, done, let me finish it 100. But he went to another person, he said, no, there is a way for you to make tawbah. You are in an environment where people are talking about killing and murder. And it is an environment that having an effect on you, that is why you're prompted to kill people. Change your environment. Go to another place where people, they respect the sanctity of life. And as he was going, on the way, he had passed away. But the point that we learn from this is that environment has an effect on the individual. In one hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, mentioned that if a person had a female slave, and that female slave have committed adultery or fornication, punish her. She committed the crime one time, punish her. She committed the crime the second time, punish her. She committed the crime the third time, punish her. Fourth time, sell her. Even if it is for a small price. The question is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. What is not good for you shouldn't be good for the next person. If this female slave is not good for you, then why you should sell it to somebody else? The muhaddithin mentioned a very thought-provoking point. You as a seller, you are selling her because maybe your environment is such that she's committing that fornication. Sell her to maybe a naive, pious person, and maybe that environment in that person's house may be good, where she will exercise restraint. So it is all about the environment and how the person conduct himself in an environment. In fact, in Bukhari Sharif, there's an incident about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was about an incident where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they thought that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had divorced his wife. It was an incident of Ila. In that incident, he mentioned Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a dispute with his wife. So on that he's saying, when we were in Makkah, when our women were in Makkah, we the men used to dominate. We used to control. But from the time we came to Medina, and our woman interacted with the Ansari woman, and they saw that Ansari people in Medina are soft, and the woman, how they dominate their men, so our woman learned from those Ansari women, and they started backchatting us. So it was that environment that had an effect on the people. In one hadith, I'm just pointing out the points to show that how environment had an effect on a person, to the extent that this environment, the impact of the environment, it could affect our qabr, it could affect our akhirat. There's a hadith, Babu Isbati Azab al Qabr, about the punishment in the qabr. When a person goes in the qabr, a person will be asked, who is your Rabb? Who is your master? If a person is a pious person, he'll say Allah. And if a person, he violated the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he never obeyed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he'll say La Adri. Second question, Madin, what is your religion? Pious person will answer, and the person that violated the laws of Allah, he won't be able to answer. Third question, Ma taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul? What do you say about this person, referring to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A Muslim will say, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately recognize his whole life was around the fulfilling the orders of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But a person that violated the laws of Allah, did not follow the ways of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say that, kuntu akul ma yaqulun nas. There was an environment where people used to talk bad things about Muhammad. And I got caught up in the same environment, and I also started saying things, the same thing what the people were saying, what the media was saying, negative things, what the papers were saying, print media, electronic media, among the kuffar and the disbelievers, what they were saying, that environment, I got caught up in that environment. Environment, it could be detrimental to your qabr and your akhirat. In the Quran Kareem, in the 22nd juice, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala presents a discussion between the leaders and the subjects. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْدُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْدِنَا الْقَوْلِ. You would see the oppressors, people that violated the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when they stand before Allah. Now there will be a discussion between the leaders and the subjects. And this we can even contextualize it in what happened in the world nowadays. How the leaders dominate, and how subjects, without applying their own brain, they get caught up in the environment. They are the owners of the media. Whatever the media says, people simply follow it. They are the owners of the newspapers. Whatever the newspapers say, the people follow it. And they start thinking like what the media wants them to think. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions about them. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. The subject will tell to the leaders, you know, if it wasn't because of you people, we would have been believers. You people came and y'all dominated, y'all created the environment. We got caught up in that environment and we did not bring iman. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبُرُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَّدَنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ بَعْدِ إِذْجَاءَكُمْ. That the guidance came to you people, did we stop y'all? Yes, of course, there was guidance. We did what we're supposed to do, but we didn't stop y'all. You made your own choice. Now they start throwing the buck onto them. Then the subject will say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُدْعِفُوا بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. It was that planning and the plotting of the day and the night, where you created such an environment and you made us stay in such an environment where we got caught up. And this getting caught up in an environment, it could be detrimental for a person's iman, it could be detrimental for a person's akhirat. When we look at the importance of environment, what environment does, we also are very sensitive to environment. You look into a school, that there's rules, there's regulations, and there's an environment for teaching and education. And then you must just get one student that violates some of the rules and principles of the school, and he tried to change the mahol, the environment, he'd immediately call up to discipline him. Otherwise, he's going to be dismissed. He's spoiling the environment. You can't achieve what you want. Likewise, in a shop, you get all your staff, you get a manager to oversee everyone, and you want everybody to work. You don't want everybody to talk and play around, otherwise you're going to spoil that environment. If that's the case, the person is going to be dismissed. So we also apply it in our own mind. In fact, environment is such an important thing. One of the last advices that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave was about environment. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on his deathbed, Akhrijul Mushrikeen an Jaziratil Arab. Take out the Mushrikeen from Jaziratul Arab, from the Arab Peninsula. They should be only people of Tawheed. They should be only people for the oneness of Allah. Non-Muslims, they should not be in the Arab Peninsula, and neither are supposed to throw the influence in the Arab Peninsula. People of Tawheed, people of like mind, they should be there. And if the wrong people come there, it's going to cause a problem. Look at the insight of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we see what is happening around the world. And leave aside everything else. Leave aside the body of the world. Look at our own bodies, the environment inside. You see, if a normal temperature, and if there's a foreign thing comes into our body, something very, very cold, it's the environment supposed to be right in the body, but something cold that comes into our body, immediately a person will sneeze. The body is going to react. Oh, normal temperature, now we eat extra hot food, the body is going to react, pimples will come out. Again, it's the environment that has an effect on the individual. Respected elders, friends, it is for the same reason Shariat emphasizes a lot on creating a mahol, creating an environment. Like the environment we have here in I'tikaf, we are able to do things that we cannot otherwise do. It was the environment that gave us this opportunity. Way outside, we can make so much of tilawat of the Quran. Way outside, we are able to make so much of nafil. Way outside, we can make so much of dua. The moment we go outside, the environment is different. The environment dominates. We are out of that environment. The i'tikaf environment gave us this opportunity. And this is why there's so much of emphasis in the Shariat about creating a conducive environment for us to obey Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. See, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Kuntum khayra ummatin. أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You are the best of nations, taken out for the benefit of the people. And two outstanding qualities of this ummah. تأمرون بالمعروف. You order people to do good. And when people do wrong, then you stop the people from wrong. And you stop the people from wrong, not because, only for their sake, because of your own sake as well. Because that wrong will come and bite you, that wrong will come and affect you. We know that incident about that old man and old lady, they were staying in a farm. There was, old lady complained to that old man, every night there's one rat that comes, and it goes around the house, and makes the sleep very uncomfortable, disturbs them at night. So old man went, he bought a rat trap. They were very happy. But before that rat was very concerned. It was aware that old man and old lady is after my life. So that rat, it went to the goat and the sheep in the farm and told, this old man and old lady, they're after my life. Is there anything that y'all couldn't do for me? The goat and the sheep said, you know, we sympathize with you. We feel very sorry for you, but sorry, we can't do anything. The rat then went to the fowls, the chickens, complained to them, the old man, the old lady, they're after my life. Is there anything that y'all can do to help me, save my life? No, sorry, we sympathize with you, but what can we do? We can't help you. You must help yourself. Finally, the rat went to the cows and to the cattle, complain to them. The old man, old lady after me. They want to kill me. Can you all help me? Sorry, we can't do anything. We sympathize with you. The rat trap was put there. The following night, when they slept, in the middle of the night, they heard the click of the rat trap. The old man, old lady got very, very happy. When old lady went, she thought, the rat is caught finally. She went to take it out. It wasn't a rat. It was a snake. The snake bit her. And she got sick. When she got sick, visitors started coming in the house. Now the old man thought, how is he going to entertain people? What is he going to do? He went in his farm, he brought some chickens, he slaughtered it. She got more sick and more people started coming. He went to his farm, he took some goat, he slaughtered it to entertain the people. And then so many more people came after she died, they had to slaughter a cow. Look at it. The fowls, the goat and the sheep, the cows, say it's not our problem. But what they thought was not their problem, I finally affected them. Likewise, in the same manner, what we think that it's other people's problems, we are not going to do anything. This is what one group of people told. That why are you giving the people advice? But the reality is that when some wrong takes place, then it's going to affect you as well. You see, that if there's a building and there's no fire extinguisher, and a fire breaks out, then the fire is going to spread. There have to be a fire extinguisher. By law, it's a fire. You have to have it. Otherwise, the fire will spread. There's nothing to stop the fire. This nahi and munkar is there to stop that fire from coming into our environment. Otherwise, it's going to hurt all of us. If a person is a cancer patient, if there's not going to be chemotherapy, the cancer is going to spread. Likewise, that wrong that's in our environment is like a cancer, it's going to spread. You got to stem it, you got to stop it. You have to do something to get it out. If a person got an infection, and if he's not going to take antibiotics, that infection is going to spread. In the same manner, whatever wrong is in our environment, it is compulsory upon us to remove that thing, for us to create that environment. In Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've given a beautiful example. The importance of creating that environment and to remove the wrong that's from that environment. Explain that there are people that were traveling in a boat, in the upper deck and the lower deck. So, the people on the upper deck, they had water. So people on the lower deck went to people on the upper deck and told, give us some water. So they refused. So people on the lower deck feel, the people on the upper deck are not giving us water, so let's make our own arrangement for water. So they thought, we should rather make a hole in the boat for the water to come in. If they're not going to stop that, they will sink, the people on the top will all sink. But this example, Nabi Kareem has explained how important it is for us to make nahi and munkar, and for us to stop the wrong that's taking place in the environment, to maintain a good environment. With all that said and done, most important thing, that when it comes to correcting a wrong, one is to correct the next person, but one is to correct your own self first. To fight our nafs. Whatever is the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for us to do that, we have to correct ourselves. Before I gave the example, I will give it again. One person, he studied in a college, university, and his qualification was on bringing about social change in the environment, social change in the community. He qualified with high qualification, lots of degrees. He came out with very high spirits, and he thought that now I'm going to reform the entire world. He had that qualification in him, so he prepared a blueprint for that. Now, when the time came to implement it, he felt this is a very difficult task. How am I going to change the environment, the entire world? He said, let me drop my levels down. I can't change the entire world. Let me change the people of my country. He prepared a blueprint for that and said, let me implement that principle. But when to implement it, he felt that's also very difficult. I can't do that. He said, I can't change the people of my country. Let me change the people of my town. For that, he prepared a blueprint and said, let him implement it. When he tried to implement, he said, that's also very difficult. Leave aside the country, leave aside the world. I can't even put the people of my town right. How am I going to change them? Instead, let me put my wife and my children right. And he had a blueprint in his mind how to go about changing them. The first person to oppose him was his wife. Then he thought to himself, you know, I think the time has come where I need to change my own self. Correct my own self. He left everybody else aside and he started reforming his own self, correcting his own self. He worked on himself. Now suddenly he told his wife something. He told his children something. Everybody's cooperating. People in the town are listening to him. People in the country are listening to him because he made his own Islah. He corrected his own self. You correct your own self, the impact of that will be different. But if you're just going to keep on talking, and you don't correct your own self, people are not going to watch what you say, they're going to see what you do. And that is very, very important. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Allah grant us the hidayat. We be sensitive to the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we need to go against our nafs. On one side, here in this incident, there was the order of Allah. And the other side, there was the nafs. They followed the nafs, they went against the order of Allah. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi gives a very beautiful example. He says, there was a king by the name of Mahmud Ghaznavi. He had a slave, a royal slave. His name was Ayaz. Very, very loyal. So other ministers, other slaves of Mahmud Ghaznavi, they were jealous on him. So the king Mahmud Ghaznavi wanted to demonstrate to the others the loyalty of this particular slave. So he called all the slaves, he told them, look, I've got a royal pearl, I want you all to break it. They all responded, how can we break a royal pearl? That's your pride, your honor is in that. Who break the king's royal pearl? They all refused. Then he told to his loyal minister, loyal person, break this pearl. Mahmud Ayaz, without thinking twice, he broke the royal pearl. There was a big noise taking place. What's happening? Then why did Ayaz break the royal pearl? That was the pride and the honor of the master. When they called him up and asked him, the king asked him, why did you do that? He said, there were two things I looked in front of me. On one side, it was your order. You told me to do it. And on the other side, my inner self, my nafs, was telling me, no, I mustn't do it. I gave preference to your order over what my inner feelings were. The same thing we learn from this. So how often in life, we get the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and one side what our nafs tells us to do. One side the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, on one side what our nafs tells us to do. The lesson we learn from this is, that we give preference to order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, suppress our nafs and carry out the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And for that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a beautiful dua. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwa. Oh Allah, give my nafs its taqwa. If Allah tabarak created internal strength of taqwa within us, then it is easy for us to exercise the strain. Anta khayru man zakkaha. Oh Allah, you are the best being that can purify my soul. When Allah gives the tawfiq, the internal strength to an individual to exercise restraint, it becomes easy for a person now to follow the orders of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this applies in every aspect of our lives. Measure, have that measure. One side is my nafs, one side the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And keep this in your mind. That these people, the followers of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, they were the order of Allah. Don't fish. But they had that wish and desire to fish. They violated the law of Allah. Allah's azab came down. Maybe the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saved from this general azab coming down. But Allah punishes people in other ways as well. That the soul, the heart also becomes dark. And then you become unmindful of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That will be detrimental for our own qabr and akhirat. Allah tabarak wa grant us tawfiq and hidayat. To be sensitive to the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Not to use ways and strategies to go against the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sincere servants of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We fight our nafs. The whole purpose of Ramadan, the whole purpose of i'tikaf is where we can suppress our nafs and give preference to order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah make all of us sincere servants of Himself. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.